Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Molly Moon, author of the new novel, Five Wishes. My guest is also a German immigrant who empathizes with the plight of immigrants and refugees in our current political climate. Her novel takes us on just this kind of heart-rending journey from the shanty towns of Honduras to the anonymity of L.A. Five Wishes is her second novel. Welcome, Molly. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Let's start with your own experiences as an immigrant. Tell me your story. What was immigrating like for you, and how does it inspire your writing?
I first came to San Diego to attend San Diego State University when I had a Fulbright scholarship, and I studied Spanish as my major, which in Germany I studied English and Spanish to become a translator, so Spanish was my main objective at San Diego State. And then when I graduated, I looked for a job, but I didn't have a lot of experience. And yet I was completely enthusiastic, thinking, everybody's waiting for me.
Of course.
I'm this great new person, you know, I graduated. And then I realized that people weren't waiting for me. And I had no resources. I had no family in the country. I had a friend that I stayed with. But my friend was also out of work, so we both had no resources. And so I ended up finding a job at a bakery in Irvine. So I moved from San Diego to Irvine, and that was my first job in California. And I rented a room, one room in a house, because I had no other money. Mm-hmm. I had no transportation, so that family gave me a bike that their children had used. It had no gears. And so I trekked 5 miles up the road to the bakery and 5 miles back home every day. And after a couple of months of doing that, I thought, you know, I have a college degree and I'm selling bakery goods, and that's not really what I came for. So I started looking for other opportunities. And then my next job, I actually found in a medical office. So I worked with a medical doctor, and I finally got more into the environment I wanted to be in, kind of more toward the corporate world. And unfortunately, after about 7 or 8 months in that job, that medical doctor made sexual advances. Oh. And when I declined, I suddenly had no job the next day. He didn't say he fired me, but he suddenly had no more money to pay for my position.
That must have been very isolating, getting into this kind of situation in a foreign country.
It was very frightening. Luckily, I had made friends with some people around me, and there was a job opening in a law firm, so I became a legal secretary. And that became my career path, basically. I started as a legal secretary and then moved from there into the corporate world. And, you know, and so I still actually work in the corporate world now, financing my writing until it takes off completely.
Well, you know, here, living so close to Tijuana, we're really acquainted with the constant border crossings and the border checks and the crimes of drug and human trafficking. Tell us a little bit about your protagonist. I know she's very different than you. She comes from very humble beginnings. And her flight across the border. How did your experience sort of segue into that story?
So my childhood experiences in Germany were actually a little bit fearful, which some people may not understand coming from a democratic country. But I came from a country that had finished a war. Everything was destroyed. My parents had scars of war victims, so to speak.
Right.
And so even later in the 60s, early 60s, the Soviet Union built a wall segregating 1/4 of Germany from the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And that border had wired fences and a minefield. And we went there when I was a little child, and I saw the towers with the guards and the machine guns, and it was very frightening to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think because of that internal fear, which I think is very human and very global, I also felt that I could relate to a young Latina woman growing up in a barrio in poverty. I wasn't rich when we grew up. My parents never had a car. We got a TV when I was 11 years old, you know, so.
Yeah, not like today, though.
Yeah, it's not like today. And so I felt that having seen the favelas in Brazil, which is very much like the barrios in Mexico or another country, I felt that I could put myself emotionally and mentally mm-hmm. into that place.
And the fear, sort right. of the universal feeling. Have you spent time in Honduras?
I have actually not been to Honduras. My background in my book is based on research I've done, mm-hmm. but I have been to Brazil, and I also went to the interior of Brazil at the border of Argentina and Paraguay, so mm-hmm. I have seen some of those third mm-hmm. world cities in those places.
Okay, without giving any spoilers, tell us briefly about your protagonist and how she ends up escaping across the border.
So my protagonist's name is Maria Elena Garcia, and I picked that name because Garcia is the most common Spanish Hispanic last name. And so she grows up in a barrio. Her parents don't really support her desire to get a good education and to become sophisticated. As a girl, they feel that she should take care of the siblings, take care of the family. So according to my research, in Honduras, most children need to be in school until they're 15. But at 15, you can leave school and you're done. But in order to get to college and a real good, sophisticated education, you have to do 3 more years of high school. And those 3 years lead to a graduation that's called bachillerato, which is like our bachelor's degree, but right. it's actually a high school degree. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my protagonist wants. And so she fights with her mother. She gets thrown out of the house. She lives on the streets. And luckily, she has a great friend who's helping her find jobs, and these jobs afford her to go to school and get that desired degree. And while she's living on the streets, she has a benefactor who helps her protect her, so to speak, living on the streets and living in the city park. And through her friend, who I called Lolita, she actually meets this human trafficker who has a restaurant where Maria Elena ends up working, and her friend works next door, which is a brothel.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yes. And so together, they plan to go to the U.S. They save their money, and through this human trafficker...
Yeah, don't tell us anymore. You'll give away the story.
They get to the U.S.
Right. Oh. And I know that that's a universal subject. The human trafficking is of terrible concern, especially here in San Diego. And I also know that the dream for the better life is universal. As you were writing it, was any part of the topic painful?
I didn't find it painful. I think it was more therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of news about Germany, the Syrian immigrants going to Germany, the African immigrants going to France. And as you said, it is absolutely a dream for a better life. I have friends from Asia who came here for a better life. And so I think that's everybody's dream. You know, everybody wants to live in happiness, in peace, and hopefully not in poverty.
Right.
And so we all strive for that. So I think I agree. It's a very global topic.
So in researching your book, what have you learned about, if anything, about the human trafficking problem here in San Diego?
I actually kind of wrote all that by whatever was inside of me. I did not specifically research that topic for my book. But once it came out and I realized that even though to me it was a subtopic, some people felt that that was a main topic of the book. I have actually joined a human trafficking walk in mm-hmm. Vista in January. I found out that January is the Human Trafficking Awareness Month in mm-hmm. the U.S., which I never knew. And I have heard a lot of news lately about human trafficking and how prevalent it is. I read news that even in Germany, which is, you know, a free democratic country where women are respected, every sixth woman has been assaulted, which was just mind-boggling to me. And I know here in San Diego, in Vista, there are certain pockets where it's really prevalent. So I'm actually learning more about it now right. than I did when I wrote the book.
You've discovered a passion.
Yes. And I think to me, the main reason for the book, the main topic was the dream for the better life, the path. How do I get there?
And what made you choose 15 for the age of your protagonist? I know this affects young girls.
Right, absolutely. I think the dreams start when you're a teenager and you start forming your dreams for what do I want to do when I'm an adult? People keep asking you, what do you want to be? And so I felt that not only was that a good age group to approach with this topic, there's also an educational element because young kids are so trusting. Mm-hmm. And they may trust somebody who compliments them and gives them jewelry or whatever. And they may not realize that it can lead down a path that they don't want to go.
Or someone who volunteers to assist you across the border.
Exactly.
But there's a price tag on there that you don't understand.
Correct. Yes.
Well, I know that you're also an avid traveler. You've traveled extensively through Europe, the U.S., South America. What are the important lessons from traveling that you want to bring to your stories or that you bring to them now and in the future?
I love to travel. I was very fortunate to grow up in Germany, which is surrounded by 9 different countries that speak different languages, and every country has its own culture. So I was spoiled from when I was 3 years old. My grandmother was in Holland, so we went to Holland, we went to Austria, we went to Italy, everywhere. It was fantastic. And then when I got older, I got to visit my family members in Brazil because my great-grandmother had 12 children and took 8 of them to Brazil. So I have a very large family in Brazil. It's actually larger than my German family.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, and it was great. Some of them I could speak English to, some of them only Spanish and Portuguese, so that was very interesting. But what I've learned is that when you get to know people from a different culture, you open your heart, you become more flexible, you learn compassion and especially gratitude. When you see those favelas or barrios where people live and they have to dig through garbage to find food, it just, you know, how can you not feel compassionate?
Right. Any regrets at all?
Regrets for coming here?
Yeah.
Regrets for writing the story?
No, for immigrants. I don't know, the whole immigration experience.
Oh, I have absolutely no regrets.
Right.
I love it here.
Okay, one last question. I understand that you're writing a sequel to 5 Wishes. Give us a hint of what to look forward to, and might this become a series?
My sequel actually will be called Seaside Daisies. And Maria Elena is still the protagonist. It is her path into her future where she experiences the United States. She gets to know new people that may or may not help her. She still hangs on to her internal fears and anxiety, which I think a lot of immigrants do. So that's part of my own history. And she needs to learn to overcome that and become courageous internally. So that is the path that she's going to go down. And I think my readers will be very happy with the ending.
Do you think it's going to become another book or it will stop there?
I actually don't know. I somewhat write by inspiration.
Uh-huh.
Whatever comes to me. I never planned on a human trafficking story. It just developed.
Right.
And so when I finished the first book, I didn't think there was going to be a sequel. And 2 weeks later, I began writing it. So I really can't foresee it. I just have to open my heart and mind and be receptive to what comes.
To the creative process.
Exactly.
So if you had to give a word of advice to immigrants arriving in San Diego today, what might that advice be?
I would say, don't ever give up.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to end our interview. Our time is up, but thank you, Molly Moon, for joining us.
Thank you, Raina. It was a pleasure.
If you would like more information about Molly Moon and her work, please visit her website at mollymoon.com, and that's M-O-L-L-I-E moon.com. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.